Let's see your Bibles tonight. Okay, that's a little good. That's a little. We got five people down here. Everybody, are you guys awake tonight? Oh, hold on. Are y'all awake? Let's see your Bibles. I'll be back. Are y'all awake tonight? Let's see your Bibles. That's better. How about y'all? Y'all awake tonight? Let's try one more time. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that we would let you loose. Do your thing tonight. Lord, don't let the devil trick us that we can't be challenged. We can't make sacrifice. Don't let the devil trick us to think that serving you is an option. And we're doing you a favor. It's a privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. One more time. I'm determined. Okay. What's your name? Katie. Stand up, Katie. You're going to be our leader. Turn around. Tell them to get their act together. Say, get your act together. Are y'all ready? Okay. Let me see your Bibles. Okay. All right. How about y'all over here? Y'all ready? Okay. Hold on. You in the red shirt with that blue hat. He's like, man, I don't even want to be here. Don't pick on me. Come on, stand up, man. Tell them to get their act together. Are y'all ready? Let's see your Bibles. Okay, both sections. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Let's see your Bibles. All right. Are y'all ready over there? My man with the beanie cap, with the blue and white and the light and dark blue. Yeah, you right there, brother. Tell your boys to get the act together. Come on, beanie cap. Give me another one. You'll be one of those guys to yell at your kids, don't ever do that again. I'm going to get mad at you. You guys ready over there? Let's see your Bibles. Okay. Yeah, you. There you go. You ready? You see him? Get your act together! Do it again, man. Do it again. Give me the WWF SmackDown pose. Ready? One, two, three. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, everybody together on three. One, two, three. Let me see your pens. Let me see your bulletins. All right, that's what I'm talking about. Turn to Joshua chapter 3. Whenever my kids walk around like this, you know, just I play WWF SmackDown. So I just tell them, WWF SmackDown, and they start running from me, right? So I got my daughter yesterday, my 16-year-old, right on the bed. Wow. Don't get all on me like this. Got to stay alive. Okay? Stay alive. Oh, I love you too, baby. I love you too. We are in part four of a four-part series on faith, raw faith. Even though raw only has three letters, we did the W twice. Last week we did a W. We'll get to that in a minute. The R in raw faith stands for? Everyone say rely. Faith relies on the facts, and the facts are found in God's word. The A in raw faith stands for faith takes faith without works is dead. The W, last week we talked about W, faith waits. Last week was wait. Faith sometimes waits and does nothing. This week we're going to talk about faith watches. Everyone say watches. Once you rely on the facts, once you act on that reliance, then you watch for God to do a miracle. I told you a story a while back about a guy named Ronnie Lott, who was a football player, Hall of Fame, defensive back, played at USC, played for the Raiders, and more importantly, played for San Francisco 49ers. He's one of my heroes, and I had a privilege of, I met him and played against him, but I had a privilege of going to breakfast with him one day. And very nice guy. And I had heard, there's a story about him losing half his pinky because he broke it in a game in such a way that it wouldn't heal and he wouldn't be able to play in a game. And if he wanted to play in a game, he had to get it cut off, part of it. So he got it cut off. And so when I went out to lunch, breakfast with him, he had this little nub. And I had heard he bit it off at halftime. But he's just studly kind of dude. And matter of fact, when he was playing football, he had a martial arts expert train him in pain therapy. And he would increase his pain threshold so no matter how bad he got hurt, he could just keep playing. And one of the things he did was he had the guy beat him with a bamboo stick, his body. Just beat him. The dude was an animal. I mean, I didn't know that. I was like, brother, you're kind of crazy. But he just got a pow, and he was, you know, just like, you know, the kung fu stuff on TV, you know. But anyway, he was commentating a football game on channel whatever, and they asked him, what team is going to have the edge in this game or has the edge? This team has a strong offense, strong defense. He said the first team to deliver the woo hit. The woo hit. They said, "General, what's the woo hit?" He says, "That's when someone on the team delivers a hit that the whole stadium goes woo." If you saw the national championship game, Miami and Nebraska, did you see those two woo hits? Same dude. Those were woo hits. When they hit the guy, he's running one direction 1 second. Next thing you know, he's on his back. It wasn't like a hit. It was a wow hit. And you went, woo. That's why they showed it over and over and over again. That's a woo hit, if it makes the highlights. When you rely on the Word of God and you take action on that reliance, at that point, you need to watch for the woo miracle. You need to believe that God is going to do a woo thing in your life. When he acts, you're going to go, woo. When you find out about this building stuff, you are going to go, woo. We're bringing people into our counseling on our board, and we have to tell them they're counseling us, lawyers and stuff, and we got this real estate guy. We said, look, here's what we want you to do. Help us with this and talk to the city. By the way, here's what it is. He went, he didn't say woo, but he went, how did this happen? He says, when you tell your church, that you have to, they're not going to understand how woo this is. So when you act by faith, you have to say, Lord, I want to see the woo. The woo is the reason you act. You have to act because you know God's going to do something. Now, you have to believe that the miracles happen. I was in a car driving from the airport to this conference in Denver. It was about an hour to where I was going. And the guy driving me was part of this denomination of these kids I was speaking at for this conference. And I said, you know, tell me what y'all believe as a denomination. He says, well, we believe in this, we believe in this. We don't believe in miracles. I said, say that again? He says, we don't believe in miracles. We think that was for the Bible. That's not for today. I said, what is it when you ask Jesus, who lived and died 2,000 years ago, rose from the dead, you ask him to forgive you of your sin, he comes into your heart, cleanses you of your sin, renews your mind, gives you new purpose, new desires, new friends, new direction in your life. You can pray and God could speak to you. What is all that? That's a miracle. Now, you and I may determine a miracle in one way. God determines a miracle. Let me give you some reasons or ways we determine miracles. Miracles to us sometimes are when things happen that we can't do. if we can't do it, it's a miracle. But if we can do it or see it happen, it may not be a miracle. That's your and I's definition, maybe not God's. Sometimes when something happens and the importance and significance in our life is really high, we might say, that's a miracle because that's really important to me and I needed that and I couldn't do it. Or the timing of something or the degree that something is unexpected, we may say it's a miracle because the timing was so perfect. You're walking in the mall, you think to yourself, you don't say it, you're by yourself, I sure would like to have a Snickers bar, and someone walks up to you and says, here's a Snickers bar. Wow, that must be a miracle. Timing, it was unexpected. So we have all these things that we decide, well, that's a big miracle, that's a little miracle. In the Catholic Church, for you to become a saint, you have to perform two miracles. Who decides that? I mean, well, I know there's a community that does, but hey, God. Let me read some verses to you about miracles that you have to believe. Exodus 3:20, the Bible, just write this down because I'm just going to go through these real quick. Exodus 3:20 says, I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt. This is God speaking. I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders. What are the first two letters in wonder? I will, oh, don't talk to me now. I'm going to strike Egypt with my wonders. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. That's a miracle. Matthew 19:26, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. He raised a paralytic and made him walk. That's a miracle. God, man can't do it. How did that happen? The Bible says they were amazed, perplexed. We never saw anything like this before. Oh, because only God can do it. A miracle. In general terms, it defines a supernatural manifestation of God's power. If you have an obstetrician, what's the let people deliver the babies? Obstetrician. Okay. You ask an obstetrician, baby deliverer, hey, would you define baby delivery is a miracle? 40 weeks you're in the womb. 40 weeks you're in water. Not 9 months. The number in the Bible for testing is 40. Jesus was in the desert 40 days and 40 nights. Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. The Jews walked in the desert 40 years. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. When 40 is over, the test is over. Babies are in the womb 40 weeks. The placenta that gives the baby and supports the life of the baby is alive for 40 weeks. Then the placenta dies. That's why the woman goes into labor. Amazing. It's God. No accidents. By design. The baby's in the womb for 40 weeks from infancy, which is fertilized egg, to baby, 40 weeks, no oxygen, comes out blue, purple, and breathes air. Miracle. That's not a miracle. We see it every day. Then make it happen. Little baby said, hey, look at that little baby. What we're going to talk about today is living in woo land. Anybody want to live in the woo land? Who wants to live in woo land? Raise your hand. Oh, okay, just want to make sure. Five things about woo land. Please write these down. First thing, woos must be expected. Are you at Joshua chapter 3? Did I tell you that yet? Joshua chapter 3, let's read it, verse 1. The Bible says that the Israelites are getting ready to cross the Jordan River. And the Bible says in verse 1, chapter 3, Joshua rose early in the morning, set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. There shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. What he says is that, listen, the Ark of the Covenant, the Word of God, is going to go first, then you follow the Ark of the Covenant. God's Word is a lamp to your feet. Let God's Word guide you, direct you. That's why you got to trust in the Word. Take action based on the Word, not on your understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge the Lord, his word. So the word's going first. They're behind the word. And look what it says in verse 5. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself. Set yourself aside. Get holy. Purify yourself. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God's getting ready to do wonders. Now, they could have gone to sleep that night and said, God ain't going to do nothing. I'm not praying. I ain't reading my Bible. He ain't going to do nothing. Or they could have said, no, we expect the woo. We've seen him take water out of a rock. We've seen him give us manna from the sky. We've seen him give us quail out of the sky. We've seen him part the sea before. We've seen him heal out diseases. God's going to do an amazing thing. When you act on faith, you have to believe in your heart and expect in your heart God to do something as a result. And that expectation of God doing something is what's going to drive you and inspire you and encourage you to walk by faith. Matter of fact, the Bible says here, sanctify yourself, prepare yourself, because God's going to do something tomorrow. So prepare yourself that you may see it, believe it, receive it, achieve it, understand it, hear it. Get ready. Get ready. When you come to church, on Sunday, stuff will happen during the day. Get an argument here. The devil's going to try to keep you from coming to church. And if you come to church, he's going to try to get you to have an attitude. Before you get out of your car, you should say, Lord, I just want you to prepare my heart for what you're going to say to me when I go to church. I want you to prepare me for worship. I want you to prepare me for the word. I want you to prepare me for the offering. Prepare me so I can get from this experience of an hour and a half everything you want. That's what you should do. Instead of walking in, oh, where am I going to sit? Oh, get out of my seat. Oh, man, he took my seat. Oh, man, no, I'm going to sit in the lobby. Oh, go ahead, man, preach. I'm out of here. No, you don't want, don't let the devil cheat you. You need to say, Lord, I want to sanctify myself because I want you to do a wonder in my life. So wonders have to be expected, and you have to believe that God's wonder, his woo after you act, is bigger and better, more important than what you do. You can't think your little act of faith is it. That's the commercial. You want to wait for the movie. That's God. So when if I pray and God says, go over here and do this, I'm okay, I'm going to do it, God. But then I'm going to watch, okay, God, what are you going to do? Because what you're going to do is a whole lot better than what I'm going to do. Remember the Bible says tomorrow he's going to do wonders. Lord, do a wonder. What's the wonder going to be? Is it going to be one wonder, two wonders, or three? Four wonders, five wonders, or six? Seven wonders, or 20? Or unlimited wonders? What you going to do? You know, when I first heard the gospel, I was in a department store in a black neighborhood, 9:30 at night. The reason it was 9:30 because I knew it was 9:30 because the store was closed and I was waiting for my girlfriend to get off work. I was just smoking some weed. And I had some more for that later that night. And I was all geared up, waiting for my girlfriend to get off work. And these two white dude hippies looking like Yosemite Sam, beard looking, bummy looking, holy jean, toe up from the flow up dudes walked over to me. And I'm sitting there with this big old afro looking like a blow pop, all skinny with a big old head. Tell you gospel truth. And I'm looking at these dudes going, they walked over to me. Beat up Bibles, shared the gospel with me. They obeyed by faith. Now, in their mind, look at that dude. He ain't going to listen to us. He's high looking, got big old afro. He ain't going to listen to us. We have to be faithful. Let's go share the gospel with him. 5-10 minutes long. Couldn't have been more than that. They shared the gospel with me. I prayed to get saved. The room moved. I cried. That's how I got saved. I saw them once after that. That was it. They have no idea the woo-ness that came from that night. You never know. You never know. So you have to expect the woo. You have to walk by faith knowing God is always faithful to do infinitely more than you could ask or imagine all the time. You have to believe that. That has to inspire you and drive you, because if he does no woo, you shouldn't pray. If he does no woo, you should never give. You should never serve. You shouldn't even go to church. If God does no miracles and does not answer prayer and does not honor faith, you should not be a Christian. Matter of fact, if he doesn't do it, you're not a Christian. It's all a lie. You're not even saved. Are you with me? So either you're in or you're out. Either yes, God is all what he says and it's all true, or it's all a lie. It cannot be anywhere in between. Matter of fact, when you start walking by faith, I wrote this little note that God starts doing circular woos. Everybody say circular woos. Circular woos are not miracles that do this. Circular woos is that God does a miracle before you act, while you act, and after you act. Remember the progression? R-A-W. You rely on the word, you act, and then you watch. Oh, yeah, it happens that way. But when you start living a life of faith, you start to see that God does woos before you act, while you act, and then after you act. Example, I got to say sorry to this girl. Okay, Olivia right here, all skinny, right? She offended me. She talked behind my back. Boom, boom, boom. Maybe it's because of something I said. Maybe not. I'm mad at her. She's mad at me. She dogged me out. God says you have to love those who hate you. Go say sorry. Progression. God told me. I rely on the facts. I act, walk over here, and say, I'm sorry. Circular woo works like this. God says, say sorry. And before I can act, homegirl starts walking towards me. She starts saying, wah, 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 I'm sorry. I say to her, well, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. She starts breaking down crying. I'm crying. I'm sorry. We start hugging. We fall in love and get married and have kids. That's a circular woo. So what happens is, it's not just R-A-W. Sometimes it's W-A-R. Sometimes it's W-R-A. Sometimes it's A-W-R. But what I'm pointing is that when you start walking in faith and woos start happening, then you start looking at that woo. God tells you to do something else, and you start to act. He woos you again. You act. He woos you again. You don't know what woo came from, what A, and what A came from, what R. Are you with me? That's living in woo land. Lord, show me the woos. Woos must be expected. Point number two, woos, write this down, woos glorify God. Woos glorify God. Look at verse 10. Verse 10. It says, after he says, Joshua, I'm going to part the water. In verse 10, he says, by this, when I part the water, by this woo, this wonder, you shall know that the living God is among you. Brother, let me tell you something. When I part this water, you're going to know it's God. You're going to know. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified. When God does the woo, he wants you to say, praise God. How many times has God done something in your life and you went, oh, that's a coincidence. That's a coincidence. What? Are you telling me that you needed $2,000.47 for your rent, and I gave you $2,000.49, 2 cents for a piece of gum? And you call that a coincidence? Here's God in heaven. Is there anybody up here named coincidence? Any of y'all angels over there named coincidence? I mean, they're talking about it was coincidence who did this. No. It's God. He wants you to say, thank you, God. You hooked me up, God. How many times you want to get a little date? See a little honey? Dear God. Am I hitting home? Dear God, I just want one time just to talk to her, please. Just give me one time. So she talks to you. You paid her. you know, whatever it is, God hooked you up. You're like, I can't believe I'm going out with this girl. All of a sudden, you're dating her. Next thing you know, you forgot it was God. Yo, man, how you get her? As ugly as you are, how you get hooked up like that? And instead of saying, God,
it was me, man. I started working out, worked on my rap a little bit, brushed my teeth.
God. God is going to do woo things in your life so he can get the glory. So he can get the credit. So you can begin to trust him more. So you can pray to him more. So you can obey him more. So you can honor him more. So you can live for him more. Not you. So when God does a woo, you got to say, God. And the next time God puts you in a situation to walk by faith, you better remember the woo. You better remember the woo. Matter of fact, I'm not going to go ahead of myself because that's one of my points. The third point in woo land is that woo's miracles are always needed. Woo's are always needed. Look at verse 14. Let me go to 12. Therefore, take yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And listen to this verse 13. This is a little nugget here, a little nugget on the side for free. You don't have to pay for this one. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be shut off. The waters that come down from upstream shall be standing in a heap. As soon, watch this. This is raw faith 101. As soon as your feet touch the water. Is that what it said? As soon as your feet touch the water, they're going to separate. Not before. I mean, you may be like this. It ain't going to happen. But as soon as you go, bam, it's going to go, wow. Now, what we want, when I say we, us who lack faith, dear God, part the water first. So God, sometimes he'll do it because he knows your lack of faith. God, can you make it go back a little further? Can you part it further? He's like, I can't do everything. No, I need you to step. And as soon as you step, boom. As soon as you act, then I act. It's right there. Look what it says in verse 14. This is the woos are needed. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped into the edge of the water. And look what it says. For the water, the Jordan overflows all its banks during the time of the harvest. It was a flood. We're going to cross the Jordan. God's going to part the water. They probably think it's this deep. We're going to get, it's flood. They're like, it's a flood. When God tells you to do something, you rely on the word. You act based on that reliance. You're going to find yourself in a position where you need a miracle. We had a lawyer at a meeting the other day for the building situation. It's millions of dollars. It's going to be probably $20 million when it's all said and done. Everything. And this lawyer, he's not part of the church. Doesn't know anything about us. And they're telling him everything we're going to do. And he goes, who's buying this? The Vatican? The Pope? Who are these people? What are only, they're not even 2 years old. It's mostly a bunch of young people. How are they doing this? We need a miracle. We need a miracle. We need 800,000 by January, and about a year from now, we're going to need about 4 million more that we don't have. We need a miracle. Now, if I and or the board decided to do this without God telling us and put us in a position to need a miracle on our own, that's called sin. That's called sin. How do you prevent that? You keep asking God every day, are you sure? Open another door. Keep guiding us. Keep your ark in front of us. But if you trust God and you believe God, God is always going to lead you down a path where you need a miracle. That's God's prerogative. That's not your prerogative. As a Christian, you do not have the right to put yourself on your own in a position where you need a miracle. I'm going to say it again. As a Christian, you do not have a right at all to put yourself in a position on your own without God telling you where you need a miracle. That's called sin. The Bible says anything outside of faith is sin. It says that very plainly. But when God guides you, he is always going to put you in a position where you need a miracle because he wants to intervene. That's called faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, not understood, not able to do. That's faith. So when your brain's telling you this is not going to work, you just check, God, is this what you want me to do? Yes. Some of you may say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm going to go down and minister to gang members right as they're getting ready to shoot each other. I'm going to stand right in the middle with the Bible, and then God's going to protect me. No, you'll probably get shot. Unless God told you to do that. If God told you to do that, praise the Lord. And guess what? I'm not going with you unless God tells me to go with you because I may be the one to get shot. Because God has to guide you. But when God guides you, there's going to be a flood. And you're going to go, how's it going to happen? Trust me. That's how. Woos are always needed. Fourth one. Woos are complete. Woos are complete. When God does a miracle, it's all you need. Look what it says. Verse 17. Then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on firm, dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. God did exactly what they needed. He parted the water. He dried the ground. They walked over, and everything was fine. Paul was a man of the Bible who was stoned, beaten, imprisoned, shipwrecked, left out to sea all night, bitten by snakes, mangled body, and he prayed, God, please take this pain away from me. It was a specific pain he had. You know what God told him? No. 2 Corinthians 12:8 says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that he might depart from me. Three times. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. There's pain in Wu-Land. There's disappointment, backstabbing, death in Wu-Land. But it's all miracles. I was in a restaurant the other day with my family. My daughter, my 16-year-old daughter, was asking me to do something for her. I did not want to do it. But she kept asking me. So she asked me. I said no. She asked me again. I said no. She asked me again. I said no. She asked me again, 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 again. I said no, 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 no. Finally, I said, listen. The answer is no. Don't ask me again. Be quiet. The end of the story, I want to hear about it. As a dad, I have a prerogative to tell you no. The answer is no. She went. Don't pity. She brought that on herself. So I looked at my wife. I said, don't I have the prerogative as dad to say no? My wife was like this. God has a prerogative to tell you no. You're not ready for that miracle. You're not ready for the miracle of the size you want. I'm going to make you wait. I'm going to see if you're real. Some of y'all pray one time. God don't answer your prayer. You stop praying. What's that? That's selfish baby. That's not faithfulness. That's not Christianity. That's selfishness. God is God. He don't need you. He don't need me. We need him. You hear people talk about, well, Michael Jordan gets saved. Oh, Michael, God don't need Michael Jordan. He needs God. We need to be pursuing bum-rushing God. We need to, God needs to not, he can't get away from, he should not be able to get rid of us. Because we need him so much and we believe in him so much. But and so when God tells you, this is all I'm going to give you, Lord, I know you know best. Duh. What do you want me to do? Just pray. Just trust me. Just stop whining. Stop complaining. Look for woos in your life. Look how this little woo is going to turn into a huge life-changing experience. Look at that. there was a young lady here a couple weeks ago, a month ago, and she was sitting over here, and I asked her name for some reason from up here. She told me her name. And then a few days later, her dad got saved sitting right over here. He comes up to me. He's crying, probably 55 years old. He was here this morning. He said to me, I just told my daughter a week or two ago, do not invite me to church anymore. Don't bring it up again. Now, she's probably thinking, God, why, why? God says, just relax. I'm going to get him. Just relax. I'm going to get him. I let him say that to you. I want you to pray. I'm going to get him. He says, he's crying. Grown man, 50-something years old. And he was here this morning, sitting right there in the front row with his daughter. God says, I'm working things out. Trust me. Stop trying to figure everything out. I'm in control. Woos are complete. Last one, woos. Woo, evidence must be collected. Chapter 4, verse 1. It shall come to pass when all the people have completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. When you walk over the dry ground of the Jordan, get a stone and take it home as proof you were there. God has done so many miracles in our lives, we forgot. Amen? Do you remember, can you remember a night that you were, before you were saved or maybe after, you were drunk, driving home, or with people that you knew you shouldn't have been with, getting ready to do something you know you shouldn't have done, or you did something you shouldn't have done, and you were praying to God, God, please get me out of this. Can I get an amen on that? And God got you out. You were in predicaments that you were scared to death. God got you out. God got you through. You were in a predicament you didn't think you were going to survive. God got you through. You forgot those. You forgot those. I remember when I had surgery on my neck about 9 months ago. I had my thyroid taken out. I had stitches all across my neck. My kids would call me Frankenstein. I was so depressed, so discouraged, so down. God got me through. And the thing we have to understand is that you need evidence, pictures, journaling in your book. This is what God did. So when you're discouraged or your faith is weak, you can look back and say, look what God did before. Look what God did before. I'm Miles Ahead Ministries. We do the Crusades. We spent $3-4 million in the last 5 years. We've had 12 crusades, $250,000 a crusade, give or take, $100,000. And we've had two or three times in our history where we had no money in the bank. I'm not talking about a dollar. We couldn't even make a 10, 10, 220 phone call. I'm talking about zero. Remember that big crusade we just showed you a month ago in Canada where all those people getting saved? A week after that crusade, we had no money in the bank. Zero. But I remembered. We've been there before. No problem. Don't worry about it. God's going to get us through. And he did. It's a faith walk every day. God, do you want us to stop? Do you want us to close the ministry down? What you want us to do? Every day. Every day. God says, just keep trusting me. That's the life of faith. He does exactly, but you have to have your evidence, because when you have your evidence of all the faithful things God has done, you go, man, I was talking to someone the other day, challenging her to quit her job because her job is a bad thing. She says, well, I'm thinking she has to keep doing this bad job that she was telling me is a bad job. It's a bad job, but she was agreeing because she didn't have any money. I go, well, look. I'm thinking it's a money thing, why she has to keep doing it. I go, well, how much money, if you stopped, how long could you keep working? 5 years, she wouldn't have to work.
I said, you got 5 years of money?
5 weeks would have been great for me. I mean, if that's no faith. God says, listen, let me carry you. Let me carry you your whole life. Let me take care of all your needs. And as I'm carrying you through all this disaster, all this financial, emotional, mental, social issues and problems, write down all the miracles I do in your life so you never forget how faithful I was. You know what he says right here? He says, when you do this, when I part the water, you shall know that the God of the earth is with you, the God who's going to drive you out from the Girgashites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites. I'm going to be the God who's going to faithfully deliver you. You have to believe that in your mind. In a minute, we're going to take communion. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask all the ushers to come forward right now as we wrap up here. I want you to remember one thing, that God has done so many things in your life. All he's wanting you to do is trust him. If you really, really want to live in Wu-Land, if you really want to thrive in Wu-Land, get your pen out. There's only one thing you need to do. Please write this down. And you're going to say, you say it every week. That's right. All you need to do is obey by faith. That's it. Obey everything that God tells you to do. Don't try to figure out how important it is. Don't try to figure out what you're going to get out of it. Don't try to figure out how you're going to live based on what he tells you to do. Just do what he tells you to do by faith, and then watch what he does. Watch what he does. I mean, this whole building project, I mean, I can't tell you how many steps of faith we've taken, and God said, ooh. We take another one, we take another one. And now it's like, well, we're going to do this 60 days to try to figure out we're going to do it. We're going to do it, man. I got so many woos as evidence. It's a slam dunk. But in your life, too, God has probably led you down so many roads to lead you to be in ministry, to lead you to do this for him, to do this for him, to do this for him. Why you shouldn't be going to school, why you should be going to school, why you shouldn't be dating, why you should be dating this person, whatever it is. He's showing you. You have to record those things, and you have to go by those things. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your patience. And Lord, as we take communion, I pray that we can remember what you have done for us and how powerfully you have moved in our life for so many years. And I pray this year we can live a Wu life, that we can live in Wu land, thrive in Wu land. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hold the bread and hold the juice, and we'll take it together.